Listening to this Fifi, Fev and Byron catch up feels like a holiday for your ears. To feel like you're on holidays all the time, to feel like you're living in a resort every day, visit mandalayliving.com.au. Fifi, Fev and
Byron, 101.9 The Fox. Pink obviously released her new album. We love Pink. She doesn't know that yet. anyway, shouldn't have brought that up.
I follow her on Instagram. She's so cool.
She's the best. I love Pink. I cried when I met her the first time. So she has just revealed, and I think this is pretty cool. So she was making her new album. She'd always dreamed of working with Eminem, as we all have. I mean, Eminem, amazing. I love that Pink gets excited about Eminem in the same way we do.
The chocolate.
Anyway, she was... would love to work with him. Anyway, she's got a bit of liquid courage in her. She's had a few drinks one night. It's late.
Nothing wrong with that.
She has sent a text while she's maybe not of sound mind. So she's
smart.
The liquid courage has kicked in. She had a lot of wine. She's sitting there at home and she
collaborate.
Bang. She actually emailed him and he's written back, yeah, I'd love to. And that is what we call liquid courage. Now,
perfect.
I'm not necessarily encouraging that. I'm just saying we all know, we've all at some stage maybe in our life experienced a bit of liquid courage. Now, that's paid off for Pink. And I'd love to hear, 131060, when did it pay off? Like that, let's be honest, it's those wee hours of the morning, you've had a few glasses of wine and you think it would be great to get back with your ex and you've never had the courage to do it. You send that text and he writes back, yeah, let's go out for dinner.
Yeah. I proposed to Alex pissed.
Well, there you go. Liquid courage.
Couldn't have done it when I did.
That's exactly what we're looking for. That's fantastic.
Yeah. That's why I said it.
Yeah, great. 131060. I mean,
maybe you asked for a job though. Maybe it wasn't relationship based.
I think she said yes.
Based.
I can't really remember.
Maybe it was anything. You just decided when you were blinded by a little bit of liquid and it made you not necessarily think clearly, and you've gone and done something and it's paid off.
Fifi, Fev and Byron.
I love knowing that people you admire and that you think they're famous, they're rich, as if they ever get nerves. I love hearing that they get vulnerable too, like Pink. And we all love Pink. And she continues to impress. And she's said she was always wanted to work with Eminem. And then one night she was so nervous about it. She'd had a few wines and it was the middle of the morning and she went, maybe I'll just send him an email and ask him if he'll work on my new album. She had that liquid courage. She sent the email and Eminem's gone, yeah, sure, I'll work with you. Just remember,
you cheated on me. That's on her new album. He's dropped that track with her.
I'd like to work with Eminem.
I'm not quite sure. Would you now?
Yes.
Collaborate.
I love Eminem.
I'm not quite sure why that's a shock to you, why people that have, because I've told you I'm vulnerable and nervous.
Oh, you're a superstar like Pink.
Please.
Okay, no, good point.
I don't think of you as vulnerable or nervous, ever.
Mm.
I think you are the least vulnerable person I've ever met.
Please explain.
This is true. You know, we don't necessarily encourage drinking or alcohol use if you don't have to.
It doesn't always make things better, I think.
It doesn't make fact, more often than not on radio, we talk about what goes wrong.
I lost my career.
Exactly.
Because I got hammered.
There you go. But let's be honest.
But I've also gained a lot of things.
Very occasionally, it'll give you the courage.
Leave that bit out.
It will give you courage to do things you wouldn't necessarily do, and maybe it paid off. Chelsea in Elston, we call Chels.
Hello.
Chels, have you had a bit of liquid courage and maybe it's paid off?
I moved to Melbourne, didn't have a job, and I was at my football function and I got a bit of liquid courage and walked away with the job.
So you're at a footy function. What did you do? You just had talk the talk?
Yeah, I just went on asking everyone if I had work for me and end up with, one of the blokes from the footy club give me a job.
There you go. Perfect example.
If Charles hadn't had one, she probably had one wine.
Yeah, breezer.
Yeah, or breezer.
Yeah. Had a couple.
Yeah, had a couple.
You know, a couple
we're
of breezers.
We're just trying to cut that down because I don't think we're allowed to talk about being hammered on the air. We might get in trouble. Charles had one breezer. If she didn't have a breezer, she wouldn't have a job.
It does give people, I mean, that's why they call it the social drink, don't they?
Sure. I mean, let's not sing the praises of alcohol. But Fev, you were a little tipsy when you proposed to Al first time.
And the second.
7:24.
Fifi, Fev and Byron. Here they are, the stories of the Fevolution. No,
they're heaps of stories. Stories from the Fevolution. Such a great back catalogue, Fief, of stories that Brendan Favola brings to the table. It gets its own segment regularly.
It does, and we welcome that, and we look forward to it. And Fev, I'm hoping this is... Maybe, is it going to be a recent one or a throwback?
We had one on Friday that you missed.
I know, what was that about?
Schnooksy told one.
Oh, see, that would have been
about
worth
me.
It.
Yeah, it was worth it.
I loved that.
Didn't paint me in real good light, did it?
Yeah, Fev's ex-wife, soon-to-be future wife, fiancée, was messy.
She went
into a lot of areas that we've never been before.
I'm going to start having my own, as your sort of work wife, I'm going to have my own back catalogue soon too. I'll start doing them.
Play the jingle, Byron.
Just kidding. You don't get away that easily.
Okay, so you were talking about cab rides, Byron, and it just flicked a little switch in my little brain.
Yeah. I had a really expensive cab ride on the way back from the Acras. It was like $150 to pack in them. I thought, because I've never lived out there, I'm like, wow, that's a big cab there.
Yeah, so back, this would have been 2001. One of my mates, I was actually injured. I'd done my knee, so I was on crutches. I had I tore a posterior cruciate ligament. Mm. So I was out, and one of his best mates had his 21st back in his hometown, Wagunya, down there somewhere. And
Wagunya?
Yeah, well, miles
Did you make that up?
No.
Down, place
down
called
Bush. Yeah, Bush. Bushway. Yeah. It's near Corowa, Rother Glen, near Yarrawonga.
Yeah, there we go. I know those names.
Yeah. And anyway, so we went down and we're playing Port Adelaide in Adelaide, and he had some sore groins, so he didn't make the trip. Sore groins. So we went to his mate's 21st.
How many groins does he have?
A groin.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah. So we went down to his mate's 21st, and we had a big night on the froths. I was on crutches, went down to the main street. Never been down there before. It's just a great, great place. I was having so much fun.
Where was it? Wagunya.
Wagunya. Wagunya. Wawa. Never been to Wawa. Anyway, so we wanted to go out. So we thought we'd go to Albury.
Mm-hmm.
So we went to Albury. Got to Albury and everything sort of shut down. So his girlfriend at the time lived in Shepparton.
Mm.
Wangaratta. So we caught a cab.
I'm all over.
So where is this story happening?
So Wangaratta.
I'm going to get me an atlas.
So we're in a cab. So it's in the bush. It's a long way. It's not like just we're going Richmond to.
No.
All right. We've been everywhere in this rave.
Yeah. So we're in Wagunya.
Okay.
We're in a maxi.
Where was Shepparton and Albury and Yarrawonga at this stage?
Nowhere. I was just that was just telling you where it was.
You've got to stop throwing out names.
Well, we're in Wagunya.
Okay, we're in Wagunya.
Then we went to Albury. Everything was shut.
Yep. How far is that from Wagunya?
Oh, it's a good hour.
Solid. Okay.
It's a good hour.
And that was vital to the story. Yeah, if I'm to air check you on the flight.
It was a good hour.
Okay.
And then everything was shut. So we went from Albury back to Wang, and that's about
Wangaratta or Wang?
Wangaratta.
Okay,
Wang.
Got it.
Made us country folk.
Yeah, okay.
Abbreviate.
Yeah, a lot of abbreviations to the point we don't know where you are.
Anyway, so we're talking about expensive rides. So this was about $250
mm-hmm.
cab ride. And because I was on crutches, the footy club had given me cab charge cards.
Yes, okay.
So we paid with the cab charge. You know, you got a sign.
Yeah.
So me and my mate thought we'd be smart asses and we'd signed our name with our number, you know, like our signature, footy signature. Ha, heroes. Handed it over. Anyway, got back to the club on Monday. We're doing our recovery. We get called into Colin Kinnear, who was our chief football operations manager.
Mm.
Gets both of us in. We thought, what's going on here? Just two young bucks. You know, probably give us a pump up. We sit down and he said, what did you boys do on the weekend? I said, mate, I was home all weekend. Obviously, icing my knee because I can't, you know, I want to get everything right so I can come back and play senior footy. Anyway, me mate goes, my groins. I was icing my groins. And then he pulled out a receipt from the cab place and said, well, what's this? And it had both our signatures on it for $250. Whoops-a-daisy.
Here they are, the stories of the Fevolution. No, they're heaps of stories. Stories from the Fevolution.
I should have pressed dumped when you said hoops, but unfortunately I kept that
We've
on.
We've got in a little bit of trouble for that. But anyway, we pushed on. Both played 200 games.
Fifi, Fev and Byron. Most industries have awards nights, and whether that's builders or plumbers or finance people, accountants, definitely the television crew do, and we all know about the Logies.
Mm.
We in radio have a little award ceremony called the Acras. Now, I say little, and I am being a little bit sheepish about it, because even, did you see all the press yesterday? Even the headlines are, the Logies for ugly people. I mean, it's just, we're always considered television's second cousin that nobody wants much to do with.
I was quite surprised when I got there, because you guys have always talked it down and saying, it's not much fun. Mate, it was decked out like a brat. It was awesome.
Oh, no, it's great. No, we can I say
I
that
didn't want to stay there, but it was
Byron good.
You did leave after 15 minutes.
But also, Byron and I speak on behalf of two people who have been to about 20 of them.
Yeah, you've been to a lot.
So I've been to so many. And my very first Acras was in like 1999. I was working at 3GG in Warragul. And I was like 19, 20. I was like, this is the best. This is amazing. Look, I'm here at a big industry night. And I remember watching all the Fox FM people going, oh, one day maybe I could work with those people because they're the really popular ones. Like I was at the table right at the back of the room.
Mm. I got that sense when I was there, Boxy, because we gave away a few awards, and the few awards that I was there for was all for the regionals and all around all of Australia. And they were going nuts.
They were up and about. It's great.
Like they were going crazy. And I'm like, this is awesome.
When I worked at 3GG Warragul, it was like the Logies for me. It was amazing. So I've been to many of them since then. I've done lots of jobs in radio, been a producer, been on air for obviously a while now. And I've never won an ACRA.
You've been snubbed many years. So I think there were years where
not
you
even
probably
the Shantuzis?
No, not the Shebang didn't win ACRA.
No, she's won nothing.
Bizarre. Yeah. Anyway, so on, as you know, I came into work on Friday morning, had to go. I was so unwell. So I was really sick over the weekend. And so I want to point this out. I've been going to these for over 17 years. Yeah. And I've only missed a couple. So I've been over the last few years, everyone, I've rocked up to the Gold Coast, flown to Sydney. This is the one I don't turn up to, everybody.
Here we go.
The winner is Phoebe Bob.
Now, in all that time, Boxy, over 20 years, you've had some great shows.
Yeah.
You have. You've been a part of some pretty successful stuff.
Where are you
Did
going?
You think that your ACRA would come for Boxed In?
Very proud of that show. Very proud of the show.
It's a wonderful Sunday afternoon program.
Shout out to Tim James who went up on stage on my behalf.
But did you think Boxed In would win you an ACRA?
Didn't think that was the one that would win me the show.
All the shows.
No, didn't think that was the one, but I'm very happy about it.
Great show. A Sunday at what time?
5 to 6.
Love it. Love it. And well done.
Did you get nominated?
My show on a Sunday night got snubbed. It didn't get a nomination.
He didn't make it to the...
He nominated himself too.
And put it on email. I did a little edit. Got me nowhere. But well done, Fief. Now, congratulations.
Thank you.
But you weren't there.
I've been to many of those boring, tedious ceremonies and sat through it. Never won anything. And
well,
finally I did.
Congratulations, Boxy. You've won your first ACRA. And let's not make fun of it.
It's
a great effort. No, we're taking the piss because it's radio. It's funny. Mm. We went through at the start of all the categories. I don't know how I didn't get nominated for half those things.
You looked at every category.
My sports report.
You looked at all of them.
We did February.
Music presenter. You back announce the songs.
We do our own little...
Best documentary. You've gone some great Insta stories.
Yeah, we actually went through and we worked out Fev could have swept the entire night.
And not one nomination.
According to Fev.
Best new talent on air.
Nah. Well, you started with Grubby and Dee Dee.
Yeah,
like
come on, mate. You can't be cake and eat it. You can't say I'm a veteran and a newcomer at once.
Well, you can.
Oh, well, you can. 13, 10, 60.
Anyway, there I was. I missed my moment. 13, 10, 60. Have you missed your one moment? It was that one staff meeting you didn't turn up to and the boss was giving out staff member of the month. Yeah. Like, it was that one thing. You've gone to everything over the years and then finally you go, I'm having a sick day. And it's that one day you could have been a star.
That's what happens. And the phones are already lighting up. People can relate.
Fifi, Fev and Byron.
Radio's Night of Nights, the ACRAs on Saturday night. And having been to many ACRAs over the past 18 years, in fact, most of them, I couldn't go on Saturday night because I was unwell. And it was the very first time I actually won one.
You weren't there when this happened.
The winner is Phoebe Bob.
What was hilarious, you won it for your weekend show Boxed In. What was hilarious, because you weren't there, your producer, who also works here on the show as a producer, Tim James, accepted the award on your behalf.
I know, and I'm glad that Tim got that moment. Former fellow Tintinite. Both of us went to the same school.
Oh, gosh.
And we got to celebrate. But anyway, it is ironic that of all the times that I have sat through that ceremony and been snubbed and never received an award, I won one. The one night I'm not there.
It's typical.
I'm so glad you gave Tim that opportunity to go up and get an award because his brother usually gets world championships and stuff. He gets big trophies.
He is a world champion.
Scotty James.
Border.
Yeah, so
you're right.
Tim got his own trophy.
Tim got his moment. He accepted a trophy for someone else.
But maybe you two have missed your moment. Paul from Carrum Downs. You there, Paul?
Yeah.
Paul, did you miss your moment when you were
really
being celebrated?
Yeah. I was used to be a professional kickboxer and I used to have to come to Melbourne for the annual awards night. And I'd been to a few of them and then just one night I just thought, I couldn't be bothered. So I stayed home and just watched TV and kicked back. And then I found out, got a phone call to say that I'd won Fodder of the Year.
Oh!
So you're in Carrum Downs. And when you say you had to go to Melbourne, that's...
No, I live Up in Cobram.
Okay. Oh, that's okay. Near Wagunya. Cobram, beautiful.
Near Wagunya.
Near Wagunya.
Wagunya.
Hey, local.
They make great oil in Cobram. Yeah. Cobram Estate. Beautiful.
I agree.
Yeah, Cobram Estate.
Yeah.
Good beautiful. Stuff. Good oil chat. But thank you very much to Paul there.
It's Fifi, Fev and Byron.
Now, I want to talk about a topic that's a bit taboo, but I think this would be fascinating to get into the mind of men or women listening who can relate to this.
Is that a board game? Taboo?
I think it is. I don't know what. I've heard of it.
I've heard it before.
Yeah, you're right.
That's like the second time I've ever heard it. A taboo.
Are you kidding? Because, you know, the board game is based on the word which I was talking about, which is when things are a little taboo, they're a bit wrong. You maybe shouldn't be talking about them. They're topics that don't usually get dredged into the daylight.
Okay, I'm listening.
Thought you'd like it. Okay, so a study has been conducted on people who quite happily, willingly have illicit affairs. Now, they're trying to get down to the...
You're right.
That is very taboo.
It is.
Well, sorry, what?
Okay, it's taboo. Okay, so affairs, morally, socially, wrong. We all know that. But we also know they happen. Now, this study went to really question and get to the bottom of people who have them compulsively. Not just like, you know, did something bad once and they've been forgiven and moved on and that's not the... These are people who conduct their lives like this. Now, we know this through the Ashley Madison website. There are men and women that are in a monogamous relationship but just cannot, just quite happily say, yep, I'm someone who cheats. And
where did this study pop up, Boxy?
Anyway, this is what I found interesting about this study, that there were men and women that were interviewed that said they go for certain people when they cheat. So, you know, we always think, oh, you just like the look of someone and, you, oh, yeah, I'd like to have intimate relations with them.
You'd alleviate the problems.
Yeah, what?
What?
You'd alleviate the people that could get you in trouble. That's what the
eliminate.
Study, eliminate.
Eliminate the people. Alleviate.
Oh, whatever. Same thing. No, it's good. You know what I meant. I'm trying to be taboo.
No, you should. You alleviate a lot of things when you have an affair, I imagine.
You eliminate
the ones that are
going to bite you on the bum.
I love that. Everything you said, and then I'll say it a bit differently like this. How does this sound? You know. So here's the thing. I want to have an affair. One of these guys has said what he does is he goes for friends or co-workers. People close in the circle.
Hang on.
Physical attributes are not necessarily...
Co-workers.
Sorry, what?
It's awkward.
Well, that's
awkward.
Just one of the tips one person
that's,
said.
That's something you'd stay away from, wouldn't you? Because people would click on.
Well, I think because keep it close and then...
Your enemy's closer and...
And because you know that person, they know you, they know you're not in it for anything. Because here's the thing, I think people who go out to have affairs and cheat are worried about bunny boilers. We've all seen the movie with Glenn Close. You might get one of those women.
Bunny boilers?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
That's another word I've never heard.
You've never heard of a bunny boiler?
No.
Oh, man.
You haven't understood half of this conversation.
Mate, I'm in it.
No, you are. I love it.
I'm in.
So think about this, Fev. If I wanted to have an affair... And I go out to, but I think people think you just go to bars and pick up, but no, people who cheat are more calculated than this. It's far more calculated. They're not into necessarily physical attributes. They, work trips, weekends away, that's a good time to do it when you're out of the postcode.
Yeah. So that, in other words, you just want to, you know, get one off
with a partner
and you want to do it with a co-worker. So Byron.
Yep.
So you're virtually saying that.
I don't want to have intimate relations with Byron.
That's hurtful. Why not?
I thought that's what. That's thought that. Why
no,
not?
Why not?
With
Byron? What's wrong with that?
Hypothetically,
not even in a hypothetical.
Hypothetically, if I was looking to have an affair, yeah. And I decided to have it with a friend.
I'm
or
a co-worker. I'm well qualified. Apparently,
of all the men that work in this team, and the team's full of men.
Jeez,
you're not who I'd pick.
Okay, well, you're not either. If we're going to be honest,
I'm the only woman.
I'm looking straight down that corridor, and there's five or six that I would choose.
Well, hang on a second. No, no. Well, anyway, who'd you pick over me? Who'd you pick over me? Are you kidding?
I'm not going to name names.
Well, I'm just interested in this. Are you not picking me because of our friendship?
So that's what it feels like.
Hey, no, look, I would pick you, Byron.
Thank you. I'd pick you.
Thank you. There we go. Now, 13, 10, 16.
She just wants you to say, I'll pick you too, Boxy. Hey, let's get back to this.
Yeah, let's get back to this. And can I just say on 13, 10, 60, we have a voice disguiser. We're prepared to hide your identity and give you an alias. If you are somebody that has serial affairs and you know that, you look for opportunities to cheat, what do you look for? Do you have a list? Are you not into? Because I've heard, I remember I met somebody who said they don't, they, because like I said, I assume people find people hot, but I met a guy who said, no, quite the opposite.
Really?
I'll find a woman that's I'm physically unattracted to, because you've got more chance of it being a discreet affair.
Right.
Wow. People have very calculated way of looking at
this. Because no one would believe that that's occurring. And so that's kind of like a way of being stealth about it.
Yeah.
Wow, that's horrible.
It's a horrible admission.
Okay.
But he said that. He said, no one would believe that.
Okay.
I would use you, Byron. That was a voice disguiser.
Is that Fev? Well, hang on. Why would you choose Byron? I'm offended now.
That's a 1060.
That was a voice disguiser.
I'll come back to your
calls. I'm not kidding. This hypothetical affair will tear this team apart.
How did you choose?
Between you two.
Let's keep it focused, though. How did you choose?
You'd pick Byron over me.
Stop arguing about it.
If I was having an affair, I'd pick Leon, but I wouldn't have a sexual affair with him. I'd just be out with him all the time.
He has a great life. Now it's just who do you like the most in the team. This is drifting.
Fifi, Fev and Byron.
If you were going to cheat, or if you are a serial cheat, what are you looking for in the person that you cheat with?
I mean, it's extraordinary. I warned you that this was a taboo topic. And Fev?
Hey, funny enough, Boxy, there is no callers because they want to keep it taboo.
It's a bit too taboo.
It's too taboo.
I didn't know things would be too taboo to talk about.
I'm going
to
use that word all
the time. No, we were saying if there was anyone who was a serial cheater, and did have a list, it was very calculated about who they targeted to cheat with, it would be interesting to hear. And obviously those people don't want to blow their cover. Why would they? But it did start a conversation here in the studio, because one of the points on this survey of people who do cheat, one of the points that came to light was that often cheaters pick friends or co-workers. They keep it close because you don't risk the unknown bunny boiler you hit up at a bar or a nightclub who then might maybe calls your partner and confronts them. And it began a conversation in the studio that has made things tense then I was asked hypothetically if I was cheating who I would cheat with. And I said, well, Byron, we're two good friends to cheat with.
Right.
You then said, well, I'd never pick you.
Well, it all got a bit weird because I was offended that you wouldn't choose me to cheat with out of everyone in this office. Like, if you were going to cheat, surely I'd be the one you would cheat with. Is that a big deal, Fev?
No, I don't think so, but have you seen yourself? Well, you did say it's not attractive.
He
you
looked said great at the Acras. I saw the photos. I thought he looked good.
But you did say it's not a sexually...
It's physical.
It's not physical. It's just so you could pick the ugliest person here.
Well, the thing is, we'll see.
Don't point at me when you say
Fev,
that.
You heard Byron say, oh, I'd never pick Fifi. And then I spoke to Jez, our audio engineer to the stars, who is brilliant and should never, ever leave this show.
He should leave the show because he's got an archive of every embarrassing moment that goes back about 10 years.
Well, he's leaving on Friday.
So. Good,
don't
good.
Remind me. Now, he found audio. Byron and I used to work on the Fifi and Jules show a few years ago.
When he didn't have his name on it.
And Byron didn't have his name on it.
All right. Should have.
And he made this very intimate admission to me. Now, I believe at the time, Jules and I were sleeping over at Byron's, and the room had microphones, and he made an admission. Would you like to share that?
I don't want to press play on this.
Press play, please.
Is this a liquid courage?
Yeah. No, I was sober, too. I was actually sober. Oh, let's play it.
I told you about the night, didn't I?
Which night was it? Was it the night we went out for Souvlaki's? When we left that Eastern pub at, like, 3 a.m.?
No, it was a lot more recent than that.
When was it?
I hadn't seen you for a few years.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the AC/DC concert.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was really excited that night.
Well, when you say excited, you were excited to see AC/DC.
Wasn't just the band. It's okay. Don't worry about it.
Oh, that's made me feel ill.
Yeah, same. Same. I can't believe that happened.
Well, don't feel ill over it.
Surely you'd had a couple.
You think that's unlikely that he would be interested in me?
No, but just to say that.
Oh, to say it. Yeah, that was pretty brazen. What were you thinking?
Look at him.
What were you thinking?
Thank God there's a song playing.
Fifi, Fev and Byron.
Now, Boxy had an interesting conversation with Lulu yesterday, and you'll start to get this now. Tricks are starting to get a little bit older, and Byron had it a couple of months ago when Zephyr asked him when his balls get active.
Oh, dear.
When they become alive.
When do my balls become alive?
Become alive.
Was the question.
Which is a very strange topic and very hard for a parent to discuss. So just stick with me. I just don't want to say the wrong thing because there's political correctness gone wrong in our country.
Yeah, throw it out the window.
Yeah, throw this out the window because there's a lot of TV ads on the TV at the moment about yes and no votes for gay marriage.
Yes.
So we watch a lot of TV. Obviously, the kids see it. So Lulu sat down yesterday and she was actually scooting around on my scooter. She said to me, Dad, if you were gay, who would you marry? And I was
good hypothetical.
Great question at a party.
I was like, okay. Well, I'm not, but well, she said, well, what happens if you are? Like, and I'm like, well, I'm not. I said, well, I have a lot of friends that are boys, but I'm married to your mum. Like, I love your mum. And she said, oh, okay. And then she started asking all the questions because she likes girls at school. They're her friends. And
she's seven, right?
She's like, yeah. She's like, well, am I a lesbian? And I'm like, no, you're not. Well, I don't know yet, but you're not. Yeah. You can't have that. You don't know yet, but they're your friends at school.
Mm.
And she said, oh, well, I think that if you were to marry a boy. Or then she said, so did Tim and Anthony get married in another country?
Oh,
and
yeah.
I said, yes, they did. Anthony Kalea. And she goes, did you go? I'm like, well, we didn't know Tim and Anthony when they got married, but they did get married in New Zealand because they're not allowed to get married here. And she goes, well, that's silly.
Mm.
They should be able to get married here. And we had these conversations. She goes, oh, I know who you should marry, Dad, if you were. And I said, who? And she goes, like, Dr. Chris Brown. But I think Lulu's got a crush on Dr. Chris Brown.
She's gone straight to the top.
Yes. Yeah, she's gone straight to the top because he's a good looking
guy.
We were a great couple. But it was a very interesting conversation.
Isn't it?
And kids bring up the best conversations of all time. Like, I just laughed. I'm like, ah. And then she did say to Josh, Mia's boyfriend who plays football, and if you were to get married to someone, you'd get married to Nick Riewoldt. Because he played football with him.
Fifi, Fev and Byron.
I read a headline on the weekend and I didn't like this, Fev, but I related to it. And it's one of those things I thought, I don't want this to be true, but I'm starting to worry that it is. The headline I read was that mothers and women that don't have children can't really truly be friends. Now, I know that's it's a sweeping generalisation. There'll be lots of examples of obviously they can be friends.
Well, it's similar to when you're single.
Yes.
And you get a partner, then all of a sudden you're spending a lot of time with your partner and less time with your friend.
Yeah.
Similar.
And honestly, I can honestly say this. I think when I had Trixie, all friendships were fractured and every single one of my friendships became different because, in particular, as a single mum, she's only got me, so she gets everything.
Gets all the love.
And suddenly I was struggling to keep up with a lot of friendships, but particularly friendships with some of my single friends. And I ended up having an altercation with one of my single friends who she sent me a text message.
Fisties?
No, not an altercation was probably the wrong word. No, she sent me a text message and said, right, that's it. I give up. You obviously don't want to be friends.
Well, this
you
is know, very taboo.
It is taboo, actually. Again,
don't name a name, Fev. That would be taboo if you said a name.
Yeah.
I've got a fair idea.
Anyway, no, but she sent me a message saying that I wasn't making any effort in the friendship and I had to ring her. I got straight. I didn't even bother texting
back. Yeah, baby to look after.
Well, I rang her and I said, here's the thing. I am stretched.
Yep.
So a full-time job, single mum with a baby.
I don't have time.
A friend to me right now is to be just there. Like, you know, to accept that we might see each other once a year at this rate. And look, we actually made it through that. So that was great. And we've made it through that. But I remember on the flip side, I remember when in my 20s, some of my friends started having kids. And I remember being the friend who'd ring them at like 6:30 at night and they wouldn't take my call. And then I'd text and they wouldn't get back to me. And then they'd eventually text me later that night at 10 and go, sorry, I was putting the kids to bed. And I used to go, yeah, whatever. Come on. Bath feed. You can't send me a text in the middle of all that. But I can tell you now as the mother, no, I can't. I cannot find time to text you in the midst of bathing and feeding.
I'm with you 100%. I've got a best friend and my kids are obviously older now. So I can bring whoever I want because they look after themselves.
In fact, your oldest can look after the two younger ones.
Well, that's exactly right. Yeah. Dad's going to make a few phone calls, look after the kids. No, but my best friend, Michelle, who lives down in near Pakenham, down that way, she's got two little bubbas. And we used to speak to each other all the time on the phone. But then she's had these two boys, Connor and Miller. And now I ring her when it's convenient for me when I'm going to footy training on the way to training. But she's got school pickup. She's looking after the kids. She's getting them bathed. She's getting them showered. She never answers the phone. I'm like, bloody answer your phone.
I can't.
I've got two young toddlers that I have to look after. Like, I'll ring you when I need to ring you.
Exactly.
And I'm like, okay, that's fair.
In Michelle's defense.
But answer your bloody phone.
Because the thing too is even you guys, not you specifically, but at work, I'll get a bit of you didn't get back. honestly, by the time I get to my phone, there's 10. So then you go, every hour, there's another text message, another email.
Oh, no, but then you say you spoke to Damien for 3 hours on the phone. You can text us in between then.
Well, he is her boyfriend.
No, I know, but you can put it on speaker.
All I would say about that. All I'd say about that, Fief, is, yeah, and fair enough, you are very busy with Trixie. But even before Trixie was born, you would never get back to anyone.
See,
at least you're consistent.
Oh, obviously, Michelle's not that busy because she just texts me.
But 30, 10, 60, have you been on either side of the fence? Have you lost a friendship? One, maybe you were the mother who ended up having a child and it ruined the friendship. You know that. Or were you the single friend who lost your friends to babies?
Okay.
It's interesting.
Fifi, Fev and Byron.
Now we're asking the question, have you had a friendship suffer because you've had kids or maybe your friend had kids? Because this is it's a common occurrence, and there was an article on the weekend in the paper about it, that mothers and childless women have trouble with their friendships. And I honestly believe that I have fallen into both camps. I think I didn't have children and I used to not understand that I couldn't keep up with my friends with their kids. I could never see them, never speak to them. And now as a mum, I find some of my single friends do not get the commitment to you and the time that goes into the kids, that you don't have time for chats on the phone. I'm never on the phone these days. Like, I barely can have a long chat with a girlfriend on a phone. Or a boyfriend. Didn't mean to discriminate. Anita in Mill Park. Hi, Anita.
Hello, how you going?
Yeah, good, Anita. Can you relate to this? Have you had a friendship fracture because of kids?
When I had my first son, my friend of 10 years just pretty much stopped contacting me for, you know, catch-ups, coffees, late-night chats, all the rest of it. Especially, I got upset because of the fact that she knew I had so much help around me and I did have that flexibility still.
Oh.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So was it an actual altercation? Did she ever call you on it, or was it just passive aggressive, not invite you or call you? Or?
Yeah, pretty much. It was, I'll be like, hey, let's catch up for a coffee. And she'd be like, oh, no, sorry, I'm going, bed. And when I'm on the way home from my parents' house, for instance, because I pass her house, I see that she's up and, you know, they're pretty much like partying and stuff. And
so you're stalking her.
So you were making...
No, I'm not stalking her.
You were prepared to make an effort, Anita. It's almost like you having a child, from her perspective, was like you getting an infectious disease and she wanted nothing to do with you.
Yeah, pretty much. And then it came to a time that before I had him, two of my best friends, including her, said that when I go out for, you know, movie night, that they will look after him. And then she's like, oh, you know, I can still, so I avoided her. And then she's like, oh, you know, I can still look after him. And I just said, nah, I don't want you around near me. Or my son, like, we're done, pretty much.
Okay, that's done.
Yeah, no.
One of the great names, Anita.
Why?
Pardon?
Anita.
Yeah. What do you call a hungry lady?
Anita?
Anita!
Oh, he got a gag away, Anita. He just...
Anita loved it.
Trying to get that in, and you got it in.
It was a wrong time to tell it,
thank
I think.
You,
no,
wasn't
it got Anita up?
Anita
she laughed.
Anita just lost her friend.
Maybe she laughed.
She did. She was great fun,
that's
Anita.
What it's all about.
Danny in Hampton Park. Hi, Danny.
Morning, guys. How you doing?
Yeah, good, Danny. Have you lost a friend having a child?
I was 19 years old when I had my daughter, and I had a really good support, you know, friends. But, yeah, after I had my daughter, I actually lost every single one of them.
What do you mean? So they were supportive when you had her?
Well,
then...
when I was pregnant, they were all excited and, you know, it was all up and, you know, it was great. But when I had her, it just absolutely changed. Like, they just lost all the understanding about where my time needed to go. And it was no longer, you know, for them, it was, you know, for my child.
It could work the other way too, Boxy, where Danny's friends might think, oh, we're all going out. We don't want to ring Danny because she's got the baby and we know she can't come out. We don't want to make her feel bad.
So maybe they were trying.
Trying to, in a way, maybe.
The worst thing about it is that they were all my primary school friends. They were all from, like, grade 1 to grade 2 friends that I had till I was 19, 20.
So, Danny, none of them in your life anymore? You've fallen out with all of them?
Not one of them. One of them got married about 2 years after I had my daughter, and she didn't tell me she was getting married. I found out after, and I asked her, what's going on? And she said, well, you just weren't a good friend.
Oh, wow. Not to defend them. They sound like jerks, but generally speaking, Fief, do you think sometimes people who haven't had kids, one of their friends has kids, and then suddenly they feel like they've got nothing to bring to the table. They're not going to understand what it's like to have a kid. They think you've just got to talk about babies all the time.
Oh, yeah. I think there's misunderstanding on both sides.
And who still hangs out with people they went to primary school with?
That's another boner.
Who? You know.
I knew, mate. Yeah, but we live next door.
Yeah.
But that's it. I would not know anyone else from primary school. Name someone you went to primary school with.
Amber Stewart. Still best friends.
Stewie.
Shout out, Stewie.
You wouldn't know, Byron.
No, my Trent Wheeler, my best friend.
Oh, there we go. Yeah. Your only friend.
Yeah, right. He's my only friend.
Rebecca in Frankston. Hi, Beck.
Hi, how you going?
Yeah, good. Beck, have you fallen out with a friend from having a baby?
Actually wasn't friend. It was more family. I mean, we're all still, you know, relatively close, but it just changed the dynamic massively, especially as my kids even started to get a bit older. You know, it was all very cute when they were babies, but they go off and they socialize and do all this stuff without me that I don't know or hear about until afterwards. And I don't even get invited because, oh, you know, she's got the kids or they don't understand.
I don't think your family are allowed to go missing. I don't think they're allowed to bail.
That's your family, not your friends.
They do. Well, they did. I mean, as I said, like, I still see them, but definitely not, as I said, like, I don't get invited. They'll go out to all these non-child-friendly things, and it's not even can you get a babysitter or anything? It's like, no, I don't
ask you.
I don't even get a look in.
Do you see all the pictures on Facebook?
Well, I hear about it afterwards and I'll be like, oh, what was that? And they're like, oh, we just went out to this restaurant. It'd be somewhere really awesome. I'd be thinking,
brothers or sisters?
I have one of each and they're both partnered. And then, you know, we're close to my parents as well. But none of them have kids. So it's like, I don't know if they can't relate to me as much because they're all off doing.
I need to bring Christmas lunch. This would be a great one.
You've got to bring this up, Beck.
We'll do some Vox Pops.
Yeah. We'll take the show to your Christmas lunch.
Done.
Right, get some prawns, some pork.
Thank
apple
you so
sauce.
Much, Rebecca, for your call.
For you.
Best
you know,
of luck.
Byron's only got one, mate.
Trent Wheeler.
That's amazing. Mate.
So you went to primary school in Cessnock together.
But not Cessnock. I've never lived in Cessnock. I've never done radio in Cessnock. Stop saying Cessnock. Anyway, we are out of here.
Even though they loved putting together that catch-up, Fifi, Fev and Byron wish they could be on holidays all the time. You could holiday every day. A championship golf course, pool, tennis courts, a bar and more. All in your backyard. MandalayLiving.com.au